2015, I started a new Instagram account under the handle Me and Me Comedy. Instagram had just started allowing people to make 15-second long videos as a response to the massive success of the 6-second videos produced by Vine, RIP. The basic idea with Me and Me was that I would do 15-second comedy sketches where I was mostly talking to myself and occasionally a friend would join in. Long story short, Me and Me Comedy never really caught on. My friends and family were nice enough to check in and give me a like and a kind comment every now and then, but it failed to ever reach a broader audience. Looking back, it's easy to see why, though at the time, I really didn't know. I thought I was making really funny stuff that just wasn't being seen by the right people. The reality is, I really just didn't have the skill set necessary to make the things I was trying to make in the best way possible. The ideas were there, and sometimes they even turned out pretty funny. But I didn't know what a J&L cut was, let alone how to do one, and the small details like that really took their toll on the quality of what I was putting out. For those of you who don't know, a J&L cut is a common editing technique that every movie and TV show you've ever seen uses. It's that thing when the camera cuts between the two or more characters in the scene while one person is still talking to show reactions and to layer in the next person's dialogue sometimes before we even cut back to them. It's a technique that exists to make the conversational flow of a scene feel more real. And in short-form video sketches, it can also buy you precious seconds and help you keep the pace rolling at a speed that's conducive for maximum comedic effect. But I didn't know any of this when I started crudely cutting together my little homemade skits in 2015. In fact, I didn't actually get the hang of this until last year. In around March of 2020, I decided to try my hand at the burgeoning popularity of TikTok. Maybe my Me and Me Comedy stylings would be more well-suited over there. I had a video catch fire early on and reach over 200,000 views. The first time in 5 years of making videos that anything I made had any kind of success. My following quickly ballooned up to about 10,000 followers. Again, the most I'd ever had on any platform ever. And then, as fate would have it, I met an up-and-coming TikToker named London Lazarson, or as he's known online, London Laz, who for whatever reason decided to invest his time and valuable advice into my little operation, even though he was then at around 400,000 followers and quickly gaining more every day. He told me he liked what I was doing, but that he thought I wasn't posting enough. I was shocked. I had been posting about 4 videos a week for a few months when I met London. He told me he posted 3 a day. I just didn't feel like I could compete with that pace, so I decided to try to post once a day, or sometimes once every other day, and resolved that my journey was just going to have to be different than his. He didn't need to, but he kept popping in to see how I was doing throughout the year, letting me know which strategies he thought were good and where I could maybe use some improvement. His periodic advice and gentle prodding kept me going during a stretch where it looked like my 15 minutes of attention was well and over, and I was going to have to maybe just call it quits for good. He kept telling me, "Quit worrying about what's happening with other people. Just focus on your content and keep posting." It felt like he really believed in what I was trying to do. Even as he continued to climb and climb, and I stayed put right where I was. I watched him hit 1 million followers, then 2 million. He's now sitting at 2.6 million and steadily growing every day. I watched him quit his job and become a full-time content creator. I watched him get that coveted blue check mark next to his name. And all the while, I stayed stuck at just over 10,000 followers, right where I was when he found me. But London never stopped reaching out. Never stopped letting me know when he liked one of my videos, never stopped cheering me on, and never stopped kindly prodding me to push harder and to post more often. Then something happened. I made a comedic music video on the last day of 2020 and posted it on a whim while heading out the door to have dinner at a friend's apartment to ring in the new year. By the time I had arrived at their apartment for dinner, The video had amassed more than 20,000 views. It was my first video in months to break 1,000. Somehow, some way, I was being given another shot. The first person to notice and congratulate me was, you guessed it, London Laz. He texted me early the next day saying that he'd seen the video and he urged me to strike hard while the iron was hot. And this time, I listened. He projected that if I could commit to posting at least once a day, but probably more like two or three times a day, for the next month, that I'd reach 100,000 followers before the end of the month. I'm recording this intro on my birthday, 7 days before the end of the month. In the last 3 weeks, I've had two different videos go over 1 million views, my account reached 1 million likes, and my follower count is currently sitting at 99,000 and set to easily clear 100 before the end of the day. London Laz called it like LeBron, holding up three fingers with his back to the hoop while the ball was still in the air. I'm learning that this is just a reflection on the kind of person London is. He actually has a course where he teaches students how to go viral. It's called Viral Blueprint. He gets paid to teach people how to optimize their content game and get the most out of their efforts. This is what he does for a living now, and he gave me, a relative stranger, all of his best tips over the course of a year for free. He really didn't have to do that, but he did, because he knew what it was like to be floundering in the dark for years, watching other people become overnight success stories with some video they made of their friend falling down a flight of stairs at a party. He saw that I'd been trying to do this for pretty much the entirety of my adult life, just like he had, and he was willing to reach back down the ladder and offer me a path forward. If you can't tell, I'm just extremely grateful to this guy. He's funny, smart, and one of the hardest workers I think I've ever met. I can absolutely say that my current run would not have happened if I hadn't met him. So if you've ever tried to do something for years with no traction, ever thought of quitting, ever been embarrassed by how long it was taking to catch a break in a venture you knew was a risk to begin with, then today's conversation is for you. From a Blankenfort recording studio in my one-bedroom apartment in North Hollywood, this is People Pleaser. I'm Austin Archer, and today I'm talking to London Lazarson about how he forged his own path to success in the age of new media by mastering the art of going viral. Hey, so the last time we spoke on the podcast, you were at, I went back and checked, I think you were at like 650. It was like 650K.
What was the date? Do you remember?
Oh, geez. I don't know the date. I know that it was very shortly after. It was like 2 or 3 weeks after that you hit 1 mil. And I said it on my podcast. I told everyone, I was like, look, I'm not saying that the People Pleaser bump played a role in the 1 million, but like, I'm just saying.
August 21st was the first podcast.
Okay. So it was shortly after that, right?
I can't remember.
Yeah. But I was like, I'm not saying that we pushed him over the edge, but I am saying that like he came on the show and then it happened. So
No, I think you deserve all credit. to be honest, I would not be where I'm at if I did not please people on the People Pleaser podcast. Hashtag the plug. Hashtag Spotify, Shopify, hashtag.
That's all I really wanted. I just wanted full credit for your success. out the gate, like first things first. But congratulations. You're a major, legit, huge 2.5 million followers influencer. Last it really seems like last time we talked, we were talking about like how to do it. And you were talking about like your process of how you spent a year trying to make videos for Facebook and Instagram and being like, I'm going to make 100 comedies in 100 days on Instagram and trying to grind on that app. And then finding TikTok and really seeing that like the discoverability is so much better and that the algorithm works so much. And so you went 3 videos a day and went hard. And like in under a year, you're at 2.5 million?
Yeah. So January 20th of 2020, I had 501 followers.
Wow.
On TikTok. So yeah, two and a half in just under a year. Yeah, I mean, TikTok is the top of the funnel, man. Like if you're, I don't care what people have to say about TikTok, it is proving to be the top of the funnel. And what I mean by that is if TikTok isn't your number one, then your number two, which is Instagram, and your number three, which is YouTube, literally will not grow. They literally will not grow if you are not putting in the effort on the top of the funnel in TikTok. And obviously there's some variables to that, but like you just said, I did 100 comedies in 100 days. Like, I don't know many creators that have grinded that hard on Instagram without a following, right? The big followings, they do that 365 days a year.
It's their job.
Yeah. But, you know, young bucks like me, I've never seen anybody match the output that I do for the little amount of following that I have. And yeah, I didn't grow anything. And just last week, actually, I had my first break on Instagram with Reels. I had a reel hit 4 million.
Hey!
And
was it a video you made on
TikTok? 20,000 followers from it.
Was it a video you made on TikTok and then it went to...
Yeah, I just put it on Reels. I was like, whatever. Like, I literally didn't... I have not cared about Reels until this point. And I would not write captions. I would just put a word and I just randomly put yeet. It has nothing to do with the video. I was just so lazy. And yeet. It goes freaking viral. It just literally, anyway, so that was great. But like I said, if I hadn't been putting out the content on TikTok and getting discovered there, that would have never happened on Instagram. And like Instagrammers and Facebookers and YouTubers want to control this mindset that TikTok is last. That TikTokers, and obviously I'm a little bit biased, but that TikTok isn't a real thing yet. And like every day I see why it proves to be better than a lot of these other social media platforms. And even just talking with people who are consumers and not creators of TikTok, like it is the most entertaining place you can scroll on. And I don't think anybody can really combat that.
Yeah, I love YouTube and I watch a lot of YouTube.
Same.
You know, the way that it's set up with the feed on the right, I'm always looking at what I'm going to watch next. And like, I love the format of it, but YouTube can't compete with the model of just what's next, what's next, what's next, what's next. And it's all 1 minute or like between 15 seconds and 1 minute. So I can just like sit down and binge like 40 videos, just boom, boom, right. Boom, 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 boom. And maybe find some new people to follow and like, you know, people that I think are funny or people that I think are like really talented. I love the variety on TikTok that it's just like from video to video. Obviously the algorithm's going to show you more of what you're looking at, but like I'm looking at political takedowns and people who are good musicians and like producer tips and, you know, and funny stuff and just like funny skits. Right. So.
Right. It's, you know, it's like one video you're learning a new recipe and the next video, like you're laughing your ass off at some random thing that some kid posted thousands of miles away. You know, that's what I love about the internet in general, that I can post something and make somebody's life just that much better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make them laugh, make them smile, make them question things. Teach them. I mean, I'm not an educator on TikTok, but teach them. You learn a lot on TikTok. I was on a phone call yesterday with a like Hollywood-esque agent, and she was saying like, I've honestly learned more on TikTok in the past year that I've been on it than any schooling I've ever had. And like, there's a lot to it. Speaking of that, I heard that TikTok is actually going to make a new tab. So you have the following tab and the for you tab, right? At the top.
Yeah.
There's actually going to be a learn on TikTok tab, apparently.
Okay. It's like specifically for people
education,
who are doing.
And I think they're going to allow 3 minute videos there.
So I'm having this guy on my show soon. His name's Dr. Paul Harrison and he's on TikTok and he's got, it's like 500,000 or 600,000 followers, but he's this therapist in New Zealand who does, he has to do series because usually he can't cover an entire idea in 1 minute, but he'll do like four parts on this like one like philosophical problem. He'll be like, right. this is called this thing. And then he'll do like a four part thing, which I'm like, as you know, like parts can be difficult. It can be difficult to get people to click through to the, but it's also can be something that can be very good if you've got a good enough audience, because it can keep people on your page going, I want to watch through the full thing. You know,
I think with parts, your followers might be a little bit lower, but they might be a little bit more loyal.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing. I mean, you want super fans. Like, you can't do anything on social media as like a full-time TikTok or a full-time Instagram without super fans. Like, you need 1,000 people who, no matter what you sell, will buy it, who no matter what you post, will share it. And like, I'm not even there in a lot of ways. Like, my TikToks get a lot of circulation. I don't know if it's the same people though, but when I try to sell things, like, it's like a canyon, you know. There's highs, there's lows where I don't sell anything. There's highs where I sell more than I thought, you know? So it's like, and I do this full time now. And as a creator, you need to find that group of 1,000 super fans who will do whatever you say.
You need to find your cult.
you really need to find your cult, unfortunately. I mean, today you hopped in my live and everybody was changing their profile picture to my picture.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I did see that. So I wanted to talk to you about this. Okay. That's the other thing that's different from the last time that we talked is you were not full time last time we talked. You were still working at Chamber. And I remember you even saying in the conversation, you were like, yeah, I work for an ad agency. And like, it was shortly after that you went full time. So I want to know a couple things. We'll start off with this one. I want to know, like, what is a typical work day for a full time internet content creator, because I see you doing lives all the time every day. Is that just part of, like, do you have a routine, like a schedule?
I'm a big, big fan of routine. I actually have my Google Calendar up, coincidentally. Mm-hmm. Every Sunday I do a big planning session at like 9 to 10, right before bed. And even if I don't know what I'm going to be doing, I just put something down on the calendar. I've noticed if I just put something down on the calendar, my days will be a little bit structured, because as a full-time TikToker, you get pulled in so many different directions that if you don't have some sort of structure, you literally won't get anything done, just because your phone's blowing up, random people are trying to get a hold of you, or you come up with an idea that you feel like you need to film instantly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But here's how I do it. So my whole philosophy is to diversify your income. This is something that I teach to friends and family, and I want to get more into like that mentorship, not on TikTok at all. I'm dumbass on TikTok and I am just funny, but on like a personal level. So you need to have a diverse income. You need to have income coming from like 5 to 7 places, even if it's tiny tidbits of income. So I structure every single day by where is my income coming from, in that order. So for example, I'm just looking at Monday. I was working on my brand deals from 10 to 11. That's emailing people back, doing my own outreach, which I do a lot of, and even filming brand deals if I need to. Then, and brand deals is my biggest form of income right now.
Yeah.
You know, I charge brands anywhere between $2,000 and $10,000, depending on what pack of TikToks they buy.
Right.
And then I go right to live. So I do lives every day from 11 to 12. And that's a pretty good source of income. It's not the second biggest, but it is a form, and it depends. Like, the most I made on one live was $1,000, and I was blown away. I'll make like $100 on a normal day, which is great. In an hour, that's great.
Is that what gifts are? Is people send you money?
Yeah. Did you see like little presents would pop up?
Yeah.
And little flames.
And you always say like ice cream for gifts, or like
ice cream for gifts. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you do the Home Alone face, or like, I'm always like, what are these gifts? Like, people can send you just like, here's a buck. And it's almost like live Patreon, where it's like, hey, you consume my content for free every single day. I'm going to do a live every morning where like you have an opportunity to like tip me for the content that you consume.
It's a tip, and it's great. Sometimes it's big. Like, next time you're in live, just click the buy gift button and you can see the pricing structure there.
Oh, okay.
And then we creators take 50% and TikTok takes 50%.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. So, and then I go right into making TikToks, right? Because views is another form of income that I have. Obviously, it's small. We had talked about the content creator fund, the creator fund, and all the conspiracy behind that. And
oh, I got some conspiracy theories for sure.
You do. You do. And I can totally see what you're saying. And just for the listeners, just preface it a tiny bit. I don't want to go too into it, but.
Oh yeah.
What's the deal with the creator fund?
Just TikTok created, it's very short version. TikTok created $1 billion fund that was intent. And it's a cool idea. We talked about this the last time you were on the show too, because it was like, they were just rolling this out. Yeah. The idea is that anyone who has over 10,000 followers can be part of this fund where you get a certain, I can't remember how many likes you need or views you need to get for like a cent. And you get like,
yeah, it's like 2 to 5 pennies per 1,000 views.
Yeah. So
it's tiny.
Yeah. So you can make money just for publishing content on TikTok. I think what happened, and I think there's other people who are smaller pages like mine. So I joined the fund at like 10,500 followers. And I just thought, oh, cool. I guess I can start making money on TikTok now. And my circulation, like, yeah, my circulation just tanked. And I think what happened, my conspiracy theory is that the app probably went like, you know what, we might have bit off a bit more than we could chew with like letting people in at 10,000. Like maybe we should have let them in at like 100,000, because we're going to have to pay a lot of money if we let everyone build like this. And so I think that they started like putting the lid on some smaller pages, because I got off the account and your boy's back. I mean,
you popped off. I love it. And I hate, here's what I hate, that is it. If that's true, like you should be getting paid for the Blazers video. Like you should be getting paid. I mean, what, it's at like 500K views.
Yeah.
So you would have made like $5 to $20 off of that, which whatever, that's food. But here's where the creator fund has its it. But on the flip side, you were also saying that they do want to support big channels like mine.
They do. Yeah. And which I think is really cool. I think it's a really cool idea. I think that my theory is that they were like, we probably made the the window.
It's
of
like, it's that SpongeBob episode when the brain is on fire and they're running through the files.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. I can't prove it, but like that's anyway. Okay. So that's another form of income is fund is.
It's fun. So I just work on views. I do a lot of cool things that I don't know if I haven't seen any big pages do this. We are literally tasked with putting out an immense amount of content every day. And so I post 2 to 3 times a day on TikTok, and that now that's the same on Reels. I am recycling all my content onto Reels. So I'm not making Reels specific. But now I have time to get into YouTube, doing 2 uploads a week of TikTok compilations or Tesla videos.
So you're saying put turtleneck and blazer on Reels, it's going to make me Instagram big?
I think so, dude. I think that's actually more of an Instagram niche, because I think you're in the same phase that I was in the beginning of TikTok. Like, it was so hard for me to wrap my head around TikTok content. And there is like a difference between TikTok and Instagram.
Yeah.
And I think you're in that phase where you dabbled enough into TikTok and you've actually posted a ton, which is awesome. But like I said in the text, I'm like, bro, don't even complain until you've posted 500 videos. I don't want to hear anything until you've posted 500 videos. So you've put in the effort, bro. And it's obviously showing, like, you're figuring out what's working. This song thing is so good for TikTok, because TikTok's, at its core, it is music. It literally is music and sound. So I think you're going to hit it out of the park 2021. I would be surprised if you're not between 100 and 500K by summer, dude. You need one pop off. The other thing is that video is like kind of like stylish and hipster and stuff. And that actually isn't good necessarily for TikTok. TikTok's like bright, colorful pink skin and blue hair.
Yeah.
So I think that video would do amazing on Reels. Let me know when you post it. I'm throwing that shit on my story.
All right.
But yeah, I think you hit this sound thing hard, and it sucks. I know that sucks, because it's like, that's a lot of effort, man. I mean, I don't know. I'm musically handicap. So I don't know what that takes.
No, they're high effort videos. Yeah, they're like 10, 12 hour long videos that take me. Yeah.
It's, yeah, you know. So if you can figure out an easy system to replicate that, and maybe even just go for the one liners, bro. Like, don't write a whole chorus and a whole, you know, a couple of verses, just one line. Like, remember the dice roll?
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't even a song. It was kind of like a, I don't know, like a, it's kind of like a upbeat. Anyway, he played his voice to the song, but it was just like, it's simple, really. I just go for my daily dice roll, whatever.
I'm already working on one that's like that. It's me. It's just people saying things in the comments that my only response to it is no. And so it's going to be like a beat that like zooms in on my face and I just go, no. And it's just so like, I think, yeah.
That's
like,
perfect.
Which I think
that's
is perfect. Like a good sound that people can use where like, you know, like that. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. But just to wrap up your question for the listeners.
Yes. Day-to-day
I break
routine.
Up my days by my sources of income between 9 and 5. That is my income hours. I do nothing in those hours that isn't generating income. So then my days are easy. Like if I hit 4 o'clock and I'm done, I've got an hour left of something I've got to do to generate income. And since I've got like, I've got my brand, I've got my course, which I'm sure we'll talk about later. I've got the views, I've got the lives, I've got the brand deals. Like there's always something you can be working on. So I try to stick to like that 9 to 5, almost like a corporate job.
Sure.
Where I am working on something that's going to generate income, whether immediate or in the future.
Okay. So that sort of answers my second question.
Okay.
Because my second question was going to be, now we just talked about Chernock and Blazer, and, but like, it's been a minute since I've been back in this space of like, oh, like it's just so much coming in all the time. And I remember this happening the first time it happened where I was like, oh, it's like overwhelming sometimes, you know, like
the engagement.
Yeah. It's too much to, I have this kind of like compulsive need to get back to everyone. Like I want to like make sure I'm responding to people. And like when people say nice things, I want to make sure that I'm like engaging with them and responding to them. But it's at a certain point, it's just too much.
Yeah.
Like there's too many. And that's for me at 500,000 views. You're regularly getting millions of views. Are you just at this point okay with just like not responding to nearly everyone? And, and do you just have set aside time where you look at it and try to respond to people and then you cut it off? Like, how do you deal with like not, because you have to still have a relationship with your wife and have like personal relationships. How are you not just always looking at it? Is my question.
Yeah, I've actually never been one to like be heavily engaged, but I'll hit like the 10 to 20 comments on each video. Just like random. I actually go through and just look at the comments that make me laugh. And then I literally say, this made me laugh. You know, like I'll do that. The one thing I will always do, and I do this about once or twice a week, is go through my mention tab, because those are people that are putting a little bit more effort than just a comment that deserve, like my spaghetti video has like a few 100,000 duets and I've liked almost all of them.
Right.
Like I'll just go through, click, double tap, click, double tap, click, double tap, click, double tap. Like I'll spend an hour doing that, but I hit the mentions tab hard because they're already putting effort into either adding me or duetting me or stitching me. That's it. That is also pushing my content places where I couldn't push it. So I think they deserve a little bit more engagement. So I'll always make sure I'm up to date on my mention tab, see who's, and sometimes there's comments on there, right? Because you only fall in the mention tab if you put at London Laz and then your comment, right? So I'll do mention tab, but commenting under videos, I'll hit like 10 to 20 comments per video.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, that's what I need to do, but I'm nowhere near the engagement that you're getting, but I think it's the people pleasing tendency in me that I'm like, well, I need to make sure that these people don't think I'm an asshole. Like I need to make sure that like that I'm seeing them giving me a compliment, you know, that I'm saying like, hey, thank you. That means a lot to me. Like, But boy, it really...
Let me put this into perspective for you. And this is a little bit over the line of like vain, like what does that say about you if you're commenting to everybody?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, nobody's special at that point, bro.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be making any super fans if everybody gets a comment back. So pick 10 and they're going to be like, London last, mom, London last commented. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That could be, I don't care whether you take that thought process. I've never like actually thought like that. It just came to mind. Like, I wonder if I were to comment to the 300 comments that I get under every video at minimum, if that makes people feel more special or less special. And I don't know.
Yeah. Cause people are, they always do like, you saw me, you see me, like, yeah, you know, like that thing. Or cause I've added people back too. Like sometimes people, yeah, will like, and I do that with people who duet or stitch. Like if people duet or right, stitch and I like their video and I go to their page and they've got like a pretty good following and I like their content, I'll follow them back. And I've had lots of people in the DMs be like, oh my God, I can't believe you're following me back. But sometimes, yeah, it's like people that I've been following for a while that will message me and be like, oh my God, I can't believe that we're friends now. And I'm like, yo, you, I can't believe we're friends now, you know?
Right.
But
right,
so I want to engage with people, but I get what you're saying. That
you should. I mean, you should always engage with people. I don't think you ever have to comment to I don't think you ever have to comment to everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, bro, if you hit 500K by the end of the year, dude, like, and you have this mentality, it's going to stress you out.
It already is stressing me out. Like, it's like no good for my girlfriend either. I think that she's kind of like, you need to do that for a couple hours and then turn that off.
Turn off.
Because,
yeah,
like, you can't just be always like, let's just see, you know, because, yeah, when you have something that's like boosting too, it's like every time you look down, it's 150, 200, notifications. And so it's like,
right,
you have, that's just unsustainable. Like you cannot get through, yeah, all of those. So,
well, I mean, yeah, like it really isn't sustainable. Like once you hit like the million and you go to your notification tab and you do one swipe, those things are so far piled in one swipe, you'll literally never see it. And I was actually thinking of an app idea. If there's a genius out here listening, please make this for me. Because of the way TikTok is and that engagement is so high, I don't know who the big people are that, like, I don't know if any of the big TikTokers have ever liked my stuff, and I never will know. I don't know if they've ever DM'd me, and I never will know. Like I have hundreds of thousands of message requests just sitting there. I'll never know if a verified user reached out to me. Like I'll never know if they followed me. I wish there was an app where I could plug in my information and be like, here's from the top down.
Yeah.
Likes, comments, and followers. That way for me as a creator, I could reach out to the, you know, if somebody else with 3 million followers followed me, I could be like, yo, let's collaborate.
Well, and on the surface, I think for listeners that can, again, like you were talking about, like the, oh, this is going to sound like the ego thing, but like it could sound like classist or something, that you're like, I want to talk to the top down. I want to talk to the people with the most, yeah, followers.
Right,
it's
right,
not about that. Like again, this is your full-time job. This is business. Yeah. People are on here who are musicians. People are on here who are actors trying to get seen. If you're on here and like some big actor who has like a production company sees you and DMs you and goes, hey man, we should talk. Actually, I think you're really interesting. And you don't see that because
exactly,
like that's business. Like that's business. An opportunity there. If the app isn't helping you to seize all of the opportunities that are coming to you, and certainly you're getting a lot when you reach a certain size, but I think that is an issue, is at a size like yours, it's just kind of like, oh, I'm going to miss 90% of
somebody. Yeah. What if somebody DM'd you or commented on your video and was like, hey, I'm down the road. I own yada, yada. I've worked with so-and-so.
Right.
You should come into the studio.
Yeah, totally.
You're never going to see it.
Yep. Yep. At this point I probably would see it like where I am now, but if I were at your level, I would miss it. And, but I also
I think the real opportunities will always make it into your Instagram DMs and then into your email. But with that said, like, TikTok is like, I don't know who's seen my videos on the For You page. And there's obviously uber mega famous people on the For You page every day.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to know. Like, I would just love to know, because that is just an opportunity where I can monetize that. Literally reach out and say, hey, let's do the spaghetti video again and you come be in it. We'll eat spaghetti off the seats. You know what I mean? If they like right. that video, but.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to get into talking about what I think is one of the most exciting things that you've started doing since the last time we spoke, which is Viral Blueprint. And obviously, yeah. there's only so much you can say without giving away the secret sauce that that is hidden behind a paywall. But I want you to sort of just like set up for the listeners, like, what is Viral Blueprint?
Yeah, Viral Blueprint is a giant checklist of things that TikTokers can do to make their videos go viral.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you have the algorithm working against you every time you post, but I've figured out a lot of little things that have helped my video. For example, oversaturating your videos just a little bit makes people's thumbs stop.
Just color, just the color of it.
Just the color of it.
Wow.
I always, when I'm filming outside, I usually try to start on the bright blue sky and then come down to my face or vice versa.
Wow.
It just a little oversaturation will help. Cause I mean, what is TikTok? It's thumbs scrolling. That's all it is. So you're literally not making content to make people laugh, cry, or teach them anything. You're making content that'll get thumbs to stop scrolling. So by standing out from the video above and below you with like just oversaturating a little, and like you're a content creator, so you know that that's kind of a no-no when you're making a video, but it is a yes-yes in the TikTok world. So I just compiled all these things that I figured out on my own or I figured out from other creators. And it's just so fun to be at the beginning of the thought leadership in TikTok. Because it is so new, and in 10 years from now, when TikTok owns Instagram and Facebook, I'm just kidding, but when they're, you know,
right.
the one where everybody's spending time on, it'll be cool to be able to teach youth and teach kids and help people be self-employed and help people be full-time content creators. And that's something I love to do. I don't make any content about this stuff, but I did want to have like this, you know, something that I, one, could monetize and sell to people, and two, help people's lives. Like someone like, you know, someone like you, Austin, where you're like, you know, what the hell? Like I put so much effort into this. Like, what if there was just two or three things that I could teach someone who's already doing it just to make their videos that much better and give you a better chance of upvoting on the For You page.
I signed up for your mailing list for Viral Blueprint before the class went live, and I never got
an email. I know.
Yeah.
Don't talk about it. I'll send you a code so you can get in. I think there's some stuff that'll really help. Like a lot of it is also just mindset. There's a lot of mindset in there. There's a lot of things that you can actually do just a little bit better on your videos. And then, I mean, reposting, that's probably the biggest win. So in 2 weeks, when your video, when Turtleneck and Blazers isn't getting any traction, repost it as a brand new post.
Yeah.
I do that. I try to do that once a week because I've got now like 50 videos over 1 million.
Yeah.
So I've got a big bank of videos that I can just repost. Zero effort. They usually hit 1 million again. The algorithm can't tell the difference.
So that's a question I wanted to ask you. You said at the beginning, obviously the algorithm is always working against you. What do you mean by that? Like, how is it working against you?
Yeah, it's kind of counterintuitive. So the algorithm is set up in just a way that it gives you exactly what you need
mm-hmm.
to keep consuming and to keep creating. It'll never, it is very unforgiving in that way. and I'm trying to wrap my thoughts around it. But for example, how many people do you know that their second video went mega viral? 2 million views, their second video. I know a few. And so that tells me that it's like, now you're addicted.
Yeah.
You're literally addicted. But then you go back to their page and they haven't gone viral for 70 more videos.
Yeah.
But they've had little things.
Bumps.
They've done little things like that. So for me to go viral weekly and work against the algorithm is because I'm literally doing these little hacks, oversaturating my videos, stops people thumbs, reposting my most viral content weekly. Obviously, well, it's the same video, so it's going to go viral again and to a new audience. So I'm going to gain followers, but it really is working against you because TikTok is big enough where it can't have people gain 3 million followers in a year anymore. It just can't. Because what's that? It's what that's going to do to the app is if everybody's over a million, only the people that can get to 20 million are going to have a full-time job from doing that. You know what I mean? So yep. Like, I think you're at the beginning of, like, I think you're already past that. I don't think we're not going to see people growing as fast as I did in 2021.
Yeah. So that's actually nice to hear because I was going to ask you, like, do you feel like with this class and with what you've been doing that, do you feel like you've like cracked the code of the algorithm? But it's actually nice to hear. And maybe the answer to that question is yes, but I think it's nice to hear that the reality is it is set up in a way where like a lot of people who are maybe creating really interesting stuff and who are like are going to like have a tough time and wonder what's the deal here? Like why is this kid in his room making this weird face for 3 seconds? Why does that have 4 million views? And my video that I spent 6 hours on and that I really like put a lot of effort into couldn't get past 500 views, even though it was liked by 40% of the people who watched it, you know, like it seems like this should have continued to build, but it does make sense that it feels like once the app got to the popularity that it is now, it's like, well, yeah, we can't have everyone, every single person be a 420 dog face, you know, which, but how crazy is that? That like that guy, there's no way he knew he was making that video when he made that video. You know what I mean?
Not a chance in the world because he actually had two videos just like that posted before.
Yeah. So he had no idea that he was making that video. And he made maybe the biggest video in the history of the app.
It was a cultural moment. It was not the biggest video, not even close to most viral, but it was a cultural moment that brought people together. Everybody posted it. There's not a soul that, you know, would put a thumbs down on that video. Like it was just a cultural moment and those are impossible to come by. Like who was the last kid? The kid that took a selfie with Justin Timberlake at the Super Bowl or whatever. Like those come once a year. And to be that one person
is the lottery.
It really is the lottery. And think of it like this. I just bought a home in this big bougie neighborhood. And I'm the only person with a pool. Mm-hmm. What do I do the second that pool opens? I invite everybody.
Yeah.
But weeks to come, I start narrowing who gets to swim in my pool.
Uh-huh.
You just have to. You can't let the whole neighborhood swim in your pool all year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what TikTok last year, wide open. Everybody comes swim.
Yeah.
Everybody gets water. Everybody gets to cool down. Now it's like, oh, Susie, we actually don't like you. Stephanie, we don't like you. Jake, we don't like you. You know, you just start narrowing the algorithm. So you're actually going to be a lot more valuable than you think at your current following in a year from now. So whatever you end up at, because you got in early. And so then you take that to somebody with a million and you're going to be those big people that were on YouTube. Instagram's algorithms were open for 2 years. If you didn't get in those 2 years, and they opened them back up like 2013 to 2015-ish, 2017-ish, like on and off in there to get more creators. I mean, you're done for. Like, it's just crazy to me that I can have 2.5 million on TikTok and 30,000 on on Instagram. Like, they don't want to help you.
I guess what's refreshing to hear here is so often when people make videos on TikTok where they're like complaining about the algorithm or complaining about circulation or saying like, I don't get like this app is bullshit. Like, I have 200,000 followers and my videos only get viewed by like 500 people. Like, how is that? How does that make any sense? Like, why aren't my followers seeing my content? When people make these videos, so often what happens in the comments section is people are just like, make better content. And I'm like, well, yeah, but like it really isn't just about quality of content. Yeah. Obviously that always helps. Like, obviously having stuff that like people like and that's funny helps. But I think that people oversimplify it too often. And it's nice to hear from you. Because I was kind of wondering, like, it feels like some people really think that they've, like, gotten the foolproof proof method. But it really is, like, multiple tiers of how this stuff works. And then there is just an aspect to it of, like, sometimes stuff just pops off that you can't really say.
That's how I am.
Yeah.
But so here's to wrap up all of these thoughts.
Uh-huh.
I don't care if you oversaturate your videos. I don't care if you do the reposting thing. I don't care if you follow my blueprint to a T. If you're not consistent, nothing will happen. And that goes across every social media. If you cannot post, okay, if your goal is to do this full time and you cannot post once a day on every platform, you will never, ever have a chance. Ever. You might be that one person that's dog face.
Yeah.
That gets forced into this life.
Yeah.
That gets forced into this.
Like, that's just now his career.
It's now his career.
Yeah.
But if you can't post once a day, every single day for like 2 years, I'm sorry, but you really don't have what it takes. Now, with that said, I'm not saying it has to be new content every single day, because I don't do that. It's hard. You get burnt out. But if you're not posting every day or strategizing your posts and figuring out how you can make it so you don't burn out, you just can't make it. And like, unfortunately, one post isn't enough. But that's why I say that is the minimum. That is the bare minimum. And I mean, it goes to show, I was doing 3 a day on TikTok, 2 million followers. And I do like 1 or 2 posts a week on Instagram. Yeah, 30K. It's like, there you go.
Yeah.
Like, there you go.
Yeah. It's always motivating to talk to you. It's like talking to like a trainer, like a physical
Dr.
trainer.
Dr. Phil. No.
Yeah, you know, like, I'm not going to – if there's a dude that's yoked and he's like telling me this is how you're going to get yoked and you won't if you don't do this, I'm not going to be like, well, you're wrong. I'm going to be like, yeah, probably, and I probably won't ever get yoked. But no, I've got a spurt of energy right now where I'm like, okay, I think I just need structure to go with my energy. I think I just need to, because it feels like my brain's all over the place right now.
Yeah. You need structure for sure. Treat it like a corporate job. What are you doing 9 to 5? What the hell are you doing 9 to 5? And if you don't know, you won't know in a year. Mm-hmm. You won't know the outcomes. Like, you need to structure this stuff. And like, think about it this way, bro. You went dark for a little bit, as from my perspective, you went dark for maybe the past 2 months. I don't know if that's true.
No, it is true.
Okay. It is true. Look what happened the second I saw some effort out of you. I texted you immediately, dude.
Yeah.
Now imagine the tens of 20s of people, you know, like that would do that again, that opportunity, like opportunities just cascade when you put forth the effort. Like, you want to see the money, you want to see the views and the success, but like, look at this. We're taught, you know, like, this is also an opportunity. You and I, you getting a little bit of free coaching and like pep talk. Like,
that's really why I wanted you on the show. I wanted you to just give me your tips for free.
But you got to see it that way.
Yeah.
Literally, once I saw a little bit of effort, like, you started posting those songs, I was like, Austin's back. I texted you, and then turtleneck popped off. And like, I had a random girl on my Instagram post it to her story. So like, you are right there. You need one more, hey, you know, what's the stick that broke the camel's back, whatever.
Yeah.
you don't know how long that stick is going to take to put on the camel, but like you're right there. Like you're at a tipping point. And I remember being at my tipping point when I hit 10K. I was like, holy shit, I can't believe I have 10,000 followers. I'm going to hit this so hard until it cracks. And we did it, baby.
We did it.
From the bottom, now we here.
Yeah. I mean, I was stuck. So I didn't stop posting for 4 months. I was posting. It just was like nothing was getting any traction and I was getting very discouraged. So yeah. I would like sometimes have like 3 or 4 days in a row where I wouldn't do anything. And I would just be like, I can't do it anymore. And, but I was also stuck at like 11.6K followers for like 4 months. And I was watching myself get new followers every day. And I was watching the number of my followers go up and down by the same number. And I was like, what is happening here that like, I'm not. And then I had several people message me and say, hey, I had to refollow you. Cause like I went and checked out your page and I was like unfollowed from you. And so I was like, is the app deleting my followers right now? And so I got like very discouraged and almost to the point where I was like, I'm going to quit. But yeah, this last week I've more than doubled my followers and it just keeps. So I just need to.
Like, dude, if that's not a spark of energy, like I don't know what else to tell you. My advice to you, bro, is set and forget. Post and forget about it. Post the next day, forget it. Like, that's what I was doing so much that my goal was just 3 a day. I couldn't care less if they got 10,000 views or 100 views. I just knew 3 a day. And then I was happy. Like at 2 o'clock when I posted my third, I'm like, all right, let's make some new content. 100K in a month. 100K followers my first month. So it just forget about it, man. Like let go a little bit and like, when you let go, I think you make, and I'm talking to you specifically, I think you make some of the best content. Like even when you were acting in my commercials, like when I was just like, hey, do a funny voice. It was unscripted. And those were the only reasons that the commercial was good. Because you just let go. Like you forgot about being a good actor and you forgot about being funny and you just let go. Like turtlenecks and blazers. I don't know how hard you held onto that one, but it seemed effortless. It seemed flawless. It was hilarious. Like I can imagine the conversation having with your girlfriend, like turtlenecks and blazers. Oh my gosh. Turtleneck and blazers. Oh my gosh.
It literally was, we were leaving for a party. We were going to not a party. We were going to New Year's Eve at our friend's house. It was the four people, two couples. We were going to New Year's Eve and we both wore that and we came out and I was like, hold on, before we leave, I need to like shoot a little footage of us like in these outfits. I was like, I'm going to do something with this. That's it. So.
Yeah. Like effortless, right?
Yeah.
And like, I think you just got to completely let go and just like get in that groove of content creation and create content for the content. Don't create content for the views. That's backwards. The views will come. The views always come. Like, you just started posting again and like, or whatever, got more into it again and the views came.
Yeah. All right.
You didn't care.
I'm going to try to up my output. I get scared every time I do. Every time I try to go like 2 a day or 3 a day, I get really scared that like people are going to be like, that's too much. And
I don't know. I don't think people have even noticed on TikTok. Like, I don't know. I post a lot, bro. And I haven't seen it ever.
I don't see it either. It doesn't bear out in the people. I follow people. I follow this guy who just got to 100K and he posts like 4 times a day. And I didn't even know that till he made a stitch of one of my videos and he made the stitch. And then like later on that day, I went to his page to like see how that video was doing. And it was like doing well, but he had posted like 4 other videos since making the stitch. And I was like, oh, this guy posts a lot. And so, yeah.
There's this part, I guess this last thing on this topic is like, I was a summer salesman a few years ago and they taught me something that I've actually used like through my whole life and very heavily on TikTok is like, someone is going, and I was selling pest control and they told me someone's going to buy it every day. Someone will buy pest control. Like, believe me if you want, believe me if you don't, but someone's going to buy it. You just have to knock on enough doors. That was the mentality. So I kind of jumbled it up and made a TikTok, you know, analogy, and it was a video is going to go viral. That's the essence of TikTok. That videos go viral, right?
Yep.
So one of your videos will go viral. You just have to post enough. You just have to get there. So it's like, let's say the app goes onto your account and says, okay, Austin's 40-second video is going to go viral no matter what. We are going to make your 40-second video go viral. Like, what if this is part of the algorithm? I don't know.
Yeah.
And it takes you 800 days to get 42 videos.
Yeah.
Or you're posting, you know, four times a day. So at day 10, you get a pop off.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Got to think of it like that. You're like, yeah. Okay. That is the end of the podcast.
Well, you're killing it, man. I'm really proud. I'm really happy for you. And I almost said proud of you, but I'm like, I don't like whatever. Like, you're doing your thing. Like, I'm happy for you. I'm happy for your success. I'm happy that this is like working out for you and that you're like out here blazing a trail. And I'm also like happy that you're willing to give me some free advice. But yeah, hit me up on how I can get in that class too, because I want to do it.
Oh, I'll send you a thing. I guess just last. I have this thing that's just been going through my head,
mm-hmm.
and it has given me like the most motivation for 2021. And it's just this phrase that I made up. I didn't even make it up, but like, and I posted it on my Instagram story today, but it's like, ain't nobody keeping up. That rings through my head so much. And like, I want to make that true in every facet of my life. Nobody posts more content than me. Nobody works out harder, goes to the gym more than me. Or, you know, like I want to be the best at everything. And it's like, I don't want anybody to keep up. And so the second somebody starts to catch, I gotta put that in. So it's like, if you can apply that to your life too, like nobody makes more TikTok music than me. Nobody.
Yeah.
I'm going to make that true. You know, I think you'll be the biggest.
Oh man. That's whew. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
All right. You heard it here, folks. I'm going to be the biggest, except just right behind London Laz, because ain't nobody keeping up. I like that a lot. I remember I watched this Kevin Hart comedy special once, and before the show started, he was like backstage with his crew, and they did this chant where he was like, he goes, everybody want to be famous? And everyone was like, nobody want to do the work. And he was like, everybody want to be famous? And they're like, nobody want to do the work. And he was like, everybody want to be famous? They're like, nobody want to do the work. And he was like, all right. And then he went out on stage. So I was like,
dude, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
Everybody wants a piece, but nobody wants to cut, you know, everyone wants a piece of the cake, but nobody's going to get up and cut it for themselves.
Yeah. All righty. Well, cool. Everybody, Viral Blueprint, go get it and get these tips. All right, man. Well.
Thanks, Austin. Let's come on when I'm at 300 million.
Okay.
Part two. Or part three.
In just a couple months.
Next week.
Yeah. All right. That's what's up. That's what's up. That's my dude, London Laz. Get on that. Seriously. Get on that. Go sign up for Viral Blueprint right now. Go do it. Go get those tips. Go get those hot tips and get you some of that viral life. Go do that right now, please, because you will not regret it, because London's right. Ain't nobody keeping up. Ain't nobody keeping up with my dude, London. Ain't nobody, all right? My dude is in Mexico right now on vacation with his wife, and he's posting workout vids on the balcony of his hotel because ain't nobody keeping up with London Laz, you guys. And he's also finding time to text me and be like, yo, looks like you're about to hit 100K. Like, this dude is a hustler, okay? You just heard it. He's legit. He's the real deal. But it's now time for our new favorite segment that we do here on People Pleaser, which is every week I live stream the intro and outro of the episode. So when I recorded that intro that you heard at the beginning of this episode, I was doing that live in front of an audience. They're right here. Hello, everyone. They're saying happy birthday to me and sending me birthday cakes because it's my birthday. That was happening live in front of a digital audience, and you didn't even know it. You just thought it was me and you in your car or like on your run or wherever you're listening to this. But there were actually 25 other people watching that happen live. So this is what we do. We live stream the intro and outro. And in the outro, I let people in the comments ask questions. London Laz is here. London Laz showed up in the he's in the chat, you guys. He's in the chat as we're recording the outro for the this week's episode. That's so cool. He just said he just watched the whole thing. He watched the whole thing. He saw me say nice things about him. Okay, so we're going to questions now. Podcast name again? Is it on iTunes? Well, if you're listening to the podcast right now, you know the name of the podcast, but I'll say it for the people in the live. The podcast is called People Pleaser with Austin Archer, and it is on iTunes. It's on Apple Podcasts. Someone asked earlier, here it is. It's from Nikki8K, K-A-Y-E. How do you hype yourself up to creating when it's a bad mental health day? Fantastic question. I went through a whole period, like October, November, December, where I was like, bummed out. I was bummed out because I was in that, I talked about it in the intro, but I was like in that lull where I was just not getting any traction with my videos and like nothing I posted was doing well. And I went back down to posting like 3 times a week because I just like did not have the energy for a daily post, like especially not when no one was liking them and when, you know. But people like London he was there and he was like, yo, just keep going, keep doing it. I'm going to be honest and say that like, it is important, I think, to be able to take time to feel your feelings, and stuff happens to you in life. Tragedy strikes, you lose a job, you lose a loved one, like stuff happens where like, you can't just be like, oh, well, I gotta finish this project. Sometimes you gotta take some time. And sometimes it's not even as serious as losing a job or losing a loved one. Sometimes you just wake up and like that energy's just not there. And I mean, I'm a big proponent of like, if the energy's not there, like try a quick exercise sesh and like some meditation, like see if you can get it. See if you can like meditate and try to connect and try to see if you can generate some good energy and see if you can get something going. But if you need a day, take a day. That's what I wrote that song Netflix Until You Die about, because sometimes like you are in a rut and you need to just like binge a show and give yourself permission to like feel that way. It's okay. It really is. You can get back on it tomorrow. But yeah, I think that meditation and exercise are always great ways to see if you can like jumpstart the works. And consistent meditation and exercise is just a great practice to be in for better consistent mental health. This is another question from Lavinella. I can't read that name, but it's loved the you're not being bullied response. Have you always been political? That's a good question. London asked me that. I did he's got a little show on Instagram where he talks to other creators, and he asked me that question. He was like, when'd you get so political, dude? I don't view a lot of my stances as political stances. Like, I don't view anti-racism as a political stance. I don't view, like, feminism as a political stance. I don't view, like, being an ally for the LGBTQIA+ communities a political stance. They're only political because of the political opposition that exists to these ideas in the world. Like, I don't think of those values as, like, Democrat values, and I'm using air quotes there. I think of those values as like human values. But to answer your question more specifically, I wasn't always a very political person. Donald Trump kind of forced my hand. I really felt like I had to get involved in the game when Donald Trump happened, and when that kind of like ideology started becoming more and more pervasive and dangerous. That's when I started getting more involved politically. But I've always been an ally for, you know, marginalized communities in my own way. I'm waiting for the feed to regenerate here so I can answer some more questions. There we go. OMG, I love your songs. Thank you for being awesome. Nikki's responding, Netflix Till You Die was so reassuring. Everyone I showed it to felt seen AF. Oh, someone says, Duncan715, can you tell us about the painting behind you? Not really. It's my partner's painting. It's like one of her favorites. She got it, I think, on a trip to Europe with her family. I actually don't know who painted it. For the listeners at home, it's a painting of a woman sitting in a chair in a dress, and she's looking out a window, and it's a really beautiful painting. I can tell you about this, though. Here, I'll show you this really quick. You see that? So for the listeners at home, there is a drawing on my wall in my little home office of a crudely drawn volcano that says Marty has cancer above it, but that my nephew drew. Marty has cancer is a play that I wrote that I'm currently working on turning into a film. And so that's the artwork that's in my office. Let's see here. I'm going back to try to find more questions here. We'll probably do one or two more and then we'll call it good. Here we go, from poke_it. It's a weird screen name, but I got you. Do you think Donald Trump is an aberration of conservatism or an embodiment of it? I don't think that really matters anymore because it's so clear that conservatives have wholeheartedly embraced him. So whether he's an aberration of it or an embodiment of it, whatever that is, like, he found a way to speak to fears that they had and beliefs that maybe they didn't want to be so public about. And he like made those beliefs okay to be loud and proud about. So actually my answer is yes. I kind of feel like conservatism has always been like trying to use flowery language to mask its racism and its white supremacy and its like more ugly underlying beliefs, and Donald Trump just sort of brought those things to the forefront. So yes is actually the answer to your question. Thank you for that question, poke it. And then let's do, hey, what's up, Stu? My friend Stu just jumped into the chat. Let's do one more question and we'll call that good for tonight. This is from La Tuesday. And then people on the stream, just so you know, I'm going to have that be it for the podcast, but I'll answer some more questions on the stream after I stop recording this outro. La Tuesday asks, do you listen to any podcasts? Of course I do. Of course. I'm a big WTF with Marc Maron fan, big Armchair Expert fan, Dax Shepard. He's, both those guys are recovery dudes, sober dudes. I'm a soberman. So I relate to those guys a lot. Outside of the fact that they're like super famous and successful, I don't really relate to that, but I relate to their sense of humor and their sensibility with interviewing at people, and Love This American Life. You know, pretty much anything from NPR Radio Lab. There's a podcast on Radiotopia called The Truth that is this short fiction podcast that I think is like one of the best podcasts maybe ever produced. And it's like so slept on. And it's called The Truth. It's incredible. Multiple episodes of that show had me like bawling my eyes out, like listening to an episode of that show in the gym and crying. So if you've never listened to The Truth, fantastic. Fantastic. My friend Stuart Fullerton has a podcast called Stayin' Humble with Stu, where she roasts like celebrities and like does like celebrity gossip and stuff. And she's a comedian in New York City, and she just like cracks me up. Like, my girlfriend and I listen to her every time we go on a road trip, and we just die laughing. She's so funny. I listen to a lot of podcasts. Okay, so that's it for questions for the podcast. I'm going to wrap up the podcast and then I'll keep doing questions here in the stream. So stay on. I'm not ending the stream yet. But People Pleaser is written, edited, hosted, and produced by me, Austin Archer, with original theme music also by me, Austin Archer. My show is mixed and mastered by Chris Bjorn over at Marmalade Music. You can go to marmalademusicslc.com. And let Chris know that you love his work over here on People Pleaser. Go, Chris, I listened to People Pleaser and I thought it was mixed and mastered so well, and I've got an audio project that I need mixed and mastered and I want you to do mine. And he'll say, you came here from People Pleaser? Guess what? I'm giving you a 20% discount, because that's what's up. That's what Chris does if you tell him that Austin sent you. So go get on that. That's it for this week. Sign up for London's thing, Viral Blueprint, and go follow London Laz on TikTok if you're not already, if you're not already one of the 2.6 million people who does that. Or follow him on Instagram. He's blowing up on there right now. I think he's up to like 56,000 followers on Instagram. So he's doing great. Thanks. Wear your mask. Be nice to each other. Love you. Bye.